Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Daddy, that you honor us with your presence. Lord, we know we're in the presence of royalty, Father, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, we don't take that lightly. We thank you, Father. We thank you. We exalt you. We magnify your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Honor and a privilege to be here tonight. Thank Pastor James and Pastor Debbie. Much of our family's down in Orlando with the Every Nation Build Conference. So let's go ahead and we're going to pray for them. Pray for some travel mercies, refreshing, fresh vision and unity. So Lord, we thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we're part of something that's bigger than ourselves, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would bless them, that you would refresh them. Lord, that you'd breathe fresh vision and unity. A fresh touch of your spirit would rest upon that place. Lord, we thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, tonight we're continuing our series on the gifts that are in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And tonight is the power gifts, which will be faith, healings, and miracles. And I was real excited about getting to do this lesson. And Pastor Philip Steele says, here, Donnie, take it off these notes. Go at least go read over them. And he sends me 40 pages of notes. I said, oh, Jesus, help me. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10, so it says, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, and to another workings of miracles. And it goes on, it lists some few other ones. And tonight, I'm going to give a little bit of instruction, probably a little bit of preaching, and then you're going to hear some stories to kind of stir your faith to begin to build up on the inside of you that you can get the victory over whatever area you're facing in your life tonight. But all of these gifts they're wonderful, they're nice, but they don't really mean it. They don't really do anything unless it's in an atmosphere of power. I mean, we could have all these wonderful gifts. We could have the greatest car with 2,000 horsepower, but if there's no gas or anything in there to drive it, it's not really going to be of any use. And what happens is in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That power isn't just like some kind of natural power or even jet power. The word is dunamis, where we get the word dynamite from, that a dynamite power you will receive when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. When you begin to walk in the presence of the third person of the Trinity, he brings with him power. He brings this dynamite power. It's not like the Force. I know we're having Star Wars or anything. It's not like the Force. He is a person, and he comes in. You walk in his presence, and all of a sudden, you receive power. Power for what? Power is just so you can build your own kingdom and be awesome and do all these wonderful things. No, it's power to be a witness. It's power to be a witness at home. Many times it's easy to be a witness when you're out on the street and not very many people know you. It's a lot harder to be a witness in your home. But that's why we got a supernatural dynamite power that comes into our lives and it allows us to live like Christ. And with that, sometimes we get some gifts. We receive gifts that come in with this dynamite power that allow us to operate in it. It's not all about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's not all about getting your angel language. Me and my little girls, we call it our angel language. It's not all about that, just praying in tongues. Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Oh yeah, I pray in tongues. That's great, but that's not what it's all about. It's about being a witness, having the power to live a life like Jesus. Jesus says, For this purpose, in 1 John it says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Why do we receive this power? So we can go about and destroy the works of Satan. To come into the darkness and bring light. To change the environments around us. That's why he was manifested. One of my best friends in the whole world. He's kind of short. He's from Texas. And he told me the story. His kids, they're like my niece and nephew. They were praying for the longest time. Jesus, please send us a dog. Jesus, we really want a puppy. And my friend goes, you ain't getting a puppy unless somebody walks up to the door and gives us a puppy, but you ain't getting one. And so they've been praying for a couple weeks. And about 2 weeks later, this missionary couple from Belize shows up knocking on his door and says, Pastor Dustin, we just felt like the Lord wanted us to get you guys this puppy. And here's this puppy. And he's like, Jesus, help me. So, long story short, they happened to get him. I think it's a rat terrier or something. It's not like the most mellow dog. It wasn't like some old bloodhound that was hardly going to be noticed. It was a dog that was going to bounce all over the place. And so, it was probably about 2 to 3 months in. They have this dog. The kids love it. And all of a sudden, it's just laying there limp. And he's like, oh, no. He picks up his little dog, and he runs it to the vet. And he takes it into the vet, and they rush it back. It's one of them emergency vets. So there's a bunch of tables around there in the back, and they're working on it. And they start paging his name. Sir, can you please come back here? And he goes back, and he starts talking to the vet. And the vet says, I have no idea, sir, what you want me to do with this dog. It's dead. So he's like, oh, Jesus. And he walks out into the waiting room, and he sees both of his two little kids sitting there rocking, dear Jesus, please heal our dog. Dear Jesus, please don't let our dog die. And he says, oh, no, what am I going to do? So he starts dialing his phone. He's looking for anybody that has any faith on him. He can't get a hold of anybody. But something happened on the inside of him. He walks back into the vet. There's multiple vets on different tables. And he says, you guys are going to think this is crazy, but I'm one of them crazy, tongue-talking, charismatic Christians, and you're going to see my dog live. And he runs over there, and he grabs his dog by the head, its limp body, and he begins rebuking the spirit of death, praying in tongues over it, shaking it, trying to get it to raise up. The vet goes, sir. He goes, no, that dog's going to live. And he goes, look at, see that movement? And he goes, no, sir, that's just the nerves. And he goes, no, my dog is going to live in Jesus' name. The little dog's head lifts its head up, looks at him, licks his hand, and then falls back down. And the doctor goes, see, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. This dog's going to live. And he goes, sir, he will not live until his body temperature goes up. And all of a sudden, the body temperature begins to rise up on this little dog. And then he goes, Sir, I don't know what to tell you. He goes, we'd like to keep your dog overnight for observations. It'd only be $1,000. He goes, you didn't do nothing for my dog. I'm taking my dog home, and he's going to be healed and running around in Jesus' name. And that dog was raised from the dead, but then it walked around for like 2 weeks kind of goofy. It kind of had to walk out its healing. And there are times where we get an initial touch, an initial burst, initial miracle of God, but we still got to walk out our healing. We still got to walk out our salvation. We're still in the process. We may not be perfect, but it's coming and we're on our way. And so as I tell this story, it illustrates the three gifts perfectly of what we're going to be talking about tonight. First is the gift of faith. It isn't the same faith that you used, that was given to you when you were when you were born again or when you were saved. It's a different kind. It's a special, supernatural rush of confidence, faith that just comes upon you. It's outside your nature. It's just boom, and it hits you. There is a faith that we have. We all have our faith, and we need to build it. We need it to grow. We need it to increase. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need to be in environments where we're building and strengthening our faith. We need it to grow. It can grow not just The main way is getting in the Word of God, but hearing testimonies of God's faithfulness and how he's worked in people's lives before. Man, if he worked for that little dog, how much more can he work in my life? Man, we need to begin to realize the character of God, the integrity of God. When we begin to realize who he is and what he is and how he operates, that we're going to have more faith or more reliance on it. So it's important that we study it. We see who he is. Many times our relationship with our own earthly father jades our view or our character, the way we view God. And so we don't have as strong a faith in him. But we need to allow the word of God to get in there and change it so we can see who he really is. Anyways, I'm not going to rest there. I got to keep moving. The gift of faith is a supernatural, it just comes on you. It's a confidence. Just like when he was walking out there and he saw his little kids. At first he was wavering. He was dialing phones. But then something hit him. He's like, man, that dog's going to live. I can remember a few years ago, I was in Belize again. And I was leading a bunch of college kids. I was going to speak that night at a youth conference. And I was out at Makati Bay. And we were out there just throwing rocks, kind of taking a day off, resting before tonight. And I was picking up shells and coral for my little girls and rocks. And I bent down, and I was picking up a shell. And as I bent down, I looked over, and there was this big old dog foaming at the mouth, growling right in my face. Now, if I would have seen that thing coming, I would have been like, okay, stay away from that dog. Let's get a rock. You know, let's get a stick. We'll chase it away. But I was helpless. I mean, it was right there in my face. If I moved, if it wanted to latch on to me, I mean, I was done. I was going to have to spend my night instead of preaching in the emergency room. And all of a sudden, something came into me like a faith. And I said, you foul beast, get out of here. And that dog tucked its tail and ran away. It was a small miracle that faith came on the inside of me. And it caused that beast, that natural thing, to run away. When we begin to walk in the authority and the power that Christ died for and gave to you, it changes your environment. You have authority over it. We don't have to be tossed to and fro and just let it beat up on us. We can stand up and watch the enemy be driven out. Faith. We can either build it and there's a gift that comes upon us. The next one is the gift of healing. It says healings. It's in the plural. There's kinds of healings. I remember when I was sitting with Dr. Wagner. And he used to laugh and goes, there's kinds of healings, and I got a special kind of healing to heal backs. And as I watched this man pray over people, probably 40, 50 people, in a matter of seconds, their legs would grow out. They would shoot out, and all of a sudden, their backs would be healed. And I begin to watch this, and it challenged me. And then all of a sudden, I begin to see God begin to operate like that in my own life. You'd see legs start coming out, and people's backs start getting healed. It was a kind of healing. There's some people that will have a gift of healing to see cancer healed and set free, and they just happens. What happens, healing is appropriating what Christ did at the cross 2,000 years ago. It's part of the salvation package. The word for healing, many times, and deliverance and freedom is sozo, which is the same word for saved, or soteria, which means salvation, will also be used for deliverance or preservation, that when Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, he purchased healing and freedom from all that Satan brought into this world, from all that sin brought in the fall. We have victory over it. We just got to tap into it. We got to appropriate it. Just like when you got born again, the faith came on you, and you were saved by grace through faith and not of works, lest anyone should boast. We got to take that same faith and begin to appropriate the healing and the victory that we need inside of our lives. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, he who knew no, wrong one, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. It's past tense. It's already happened. We just need to apply it or appropriate it to our lives. There are things that will try to hinder us from receiving salvation. Not only from salvation, but healing. There will be things that will try to hinder you from receiving that. And number one is unbelief. In Matthew 13, verse 58, you don't need to turn there, but it says that Jesus could not do many miracles because of their unbelief. You know, when I was growing up in Bible college, there was always the question, why do we see so many people getting healed and delivered in other nations, but not in the U.S.? Because systematically, we have driven miracles and healings out of our culture, and we've developed a culture really of unbelief. I can remember times growing up as a young boy and seeing brain tumors disappear, people healed of cancer. I remember when I really got fired up for Jesus. I really got born again, and we were basically in revival in our youth group. I was probably 16 years old, and this young man came in. He had 3 months to live. And the senior pastor comes to me and goes, Donnie, I've already prayed with this young man. He's got 3 months to live. I've just been praying for hope and, you know, that he'll have a hope and really give his life to Jesus. He goes, and this is what he told me. He goes, Donnie, don't pray anything crazy. So we're up there. We're praying over him. All the youth are praying over him, you know. We're in the midst of revival. We're excited. And all of a sudden, faith comes on me. So I'm thinking, don't pray nothing crazy, Donnie. Don't say nothing crazy, Donnie. Honor this man. And something whelmed up on the inside of me and said, you are going to be healed. You're going to be set free. Man will try to take credit for it, but God is going to heal you tonight. That young man over 17, 18 years ago is still alive to this day. The healing power of God will come in. It will even overcome some of the hindrances if you don't allow it. Unbelief can be a hindrance. You got to overcome sometimes the culture that's in there. Unconfessed sin is a big hindrance from healing working. In James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, confess your sins one to another that you may be healed, and praying for one another that you may be healed. There are secret things that maybe we hide in the dark and we wonder why, oh man, I can't just get free from this. Sometimes you need to confess it. Sometimes you need to come out of the darkness and confess it. A lot of times, I used to work in a drug and alcohol rehab. A lot of times people aren't getting healed from their addictions is because they keep it in the darkness. I really feel that God's going to liberate some of you tonight and heal you tonight of addictions. And it may be saying to somebody, I really need some prayer. I've been struggling with this. And as soon as you bring it out, God's going to heal. He's going to liberate you. 3, unforgiveness. Matthew 18, 34 to 35, it talks about if you don't forgive, be turned over to the tormentors. Unforgiveness can be a stronghold that'll keep you from getting healing. I can remember me and my wife, we were trying to have a baby, probably for 3.5, 4 years, and she could not get pregnant. The moment she forgave somebody that had abused her when she was a child, that week she got pregnant. Unforgiveness can withhold the blessing and the things from God that he has in store for you. Demonic interference is the fourth one. Or sometimes I'd like to call it a generational iniquity. Not that the arm of the Lord is too short to save you, but your iniquities have separated you from God. There can be some tendencies, there can be some bondage or some affliction of the enemy that keeps the blessing or the victory or the healing coming into your life. We see this many times when you are praying for somebody with a back problem. If you break the iniquity or the curse, some people like to call it, of scoliosis, that leg will shoot out automatically. So sometimes the enemy can use that. Disease and sickness are all results of the fall. Our purpose, which Jesus said, his purpose, the Son of Man, was manifested to destroy the works of the enemy. It is our job, it is our duty, it is our privilege as Christians, as born again, to go about and destroy the works of the enemy, to liberate the captives, to heal the brokenhearted. These are some of the ways. Third and final is miracles. That little dog, my friend's dog, Jackie, still alive today. It's had 2 litters of puppies, by the way, little miracle puppies. When it was raised from the dead, it was a gift. It was like, it was the gift of miracles that was working. The gift of miracles defies or suspends natural laws. That's why it's called supernatural, because it goes above and beyond. There's no way that dog should have lived. He should have been packing that thing up and going out there and trying to figure out how he's going to tell his kids that the gift that God gave them that they prayed for had just died. That's what he should have been trying to do, but the supernatural ability, the gift of miracles, resurrected and brought life to that dog. Usually, the gift of faith is the doorway to the gift of miracles. Usually, you'll see another gift, they kind of overlap. Many times, if somebody starts prophesying, it'll build faith in the air that the miraculous will begin to be happen. So sometimes you'll see that in the gift of faith, the miracles, the overlap. We see Jesus performing miracles as he's walking out in the streets, speaking to the wind, the wind's baying, he's turning water into wine, he's cruising, he's walking on the water, he's walking through walls, he's pulling money out of fish's mouths. I mean, he's multiplying the food, feeding the 5,000. Jesus was really the miracle man. I mean, he's raising the dead, he's stopping funerals and telling little boys to get up out of their caskets. I mean, Jesus walked in miracles all the time. This was what he did. In John chapter 14, verse 12. If we have that one. John chapter 14, verse 12. Jesus says, to them that believe, he believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Jesus says, not only will you do the works that I'm doing, but you will do greater works. Our lives as a Christian, we are born, when we're born again, it's a miracle. It's probably the greatest miracle on the face of the earth, to see a changed life. But we should continue to walk in miracles and see the power of God operating in our life, to be a witness, to be like him, to live like Jesus. That's what he's called us to do. I think about some of the miracles that I've seen in my own life. I've heard the story, you know, seeing my friend's dog raised from the dead, looking at Jackie licking her head up and licking his hand and her body temperature going up. I think about my second daughter, Juliana. I remember about the 7th month into my wife's pregnancy, she quit feeling that baby move. All of a sudden, she woke up in the middle of the night, was just bleeding all over the place. And I thought, oh God. But I stood on a promise. The Lord told me, he goes, Donnie, she'll never have a miscarriage. And as we're driving down there, I didn't have the gift of faith at that moment. It was tears and tongues, tears and tongues. And I'm fighting with this word. I'm standing on this word. But I knew that as soon as we got in there, we're walking in there, there's tears running down my face. It was the longest 20 minutes of my life in that drive. We got her in there. They put the ultrasound. You put that stuff on there. That little baby girl was moving around so much they could hardly even get her heartbeat. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that God raised that little baby up. That he resurrected it. It was miraculous. It was a miracle. As I've sat there and I've prayed with people. Well, I wasn't praying this time. But this man was praying with people. I've seen pacemakers disappear out of people's bodies. And I've had RNs check it. 2 and 3 RNs, check it to make sure the pacemaker disappeared. Seen metal disappear out of people's body and smelt the acidity. I've seen people called up and they say, hey, 2.5 years ago, you fell down and you fell on your knees. You were stocking shelves at Walmart and watched a person start crying. And then I see their knees start popping and cartilage growing back in their knees. There is a miracle, wonder-working God that's in our midst. The same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of you. We are not somebody that's just to be put down, beat down, that we are supposed to rise above our circumstances, rise above our situations. There's so much more to our salvation. There's so much more to it. We just got to tap into it. I could tell you a few other stories. But our purpose, the purpose that Jesus was manifested, was to destroy the works of the devil. And then he goes on and he ups the ante. Hey, not only are you going to do the works that I'm doing, you're going to do even greater. If there's ever something our society needs, it needs the power of the Holy Spirit to change lives, to change people's situations, to make a distinction between Christians and the world. People of God, I believe that God wants to endue us with that power from on high. That he wants to release that. That he wants to give us whatever situation you're facing. You may need a miracle. You may need a healing. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is here tonight. So I'm just going to have you have you stand to your feet. And I'm going to have you break off into groups. And let's just begin to pray. Let's just begin to pray. Some of you, if you need a healing, I know Pastor JT already had you raise your hands. Kind of did what I was already going to do, but praise the Lord. We're on the same spirit. If you need a healing, there are stories all throughout. There's stories in the Bible where the man, he got touched by Jesus. And he says, what do you see? He says, I see men walking around like trees. Jesus touched him again, and then he was healed. Sometimes we need another touch. Sometimes we need another filling. Sometimes we need another time just in his presence. And so tonight, we're going to get two. So if you need a healing, you're believing for a healing, you need a miracle like Pastor JT, maybe it's a financial one, maybe it's that wayward child, maybe it is something, you need to create a miracle for God to show up. Maybe it's that dog, like I was on the mission trip, that's just right there in your face, ready to eat on you, and you're like, man, that thing needs to get out. Maybe it's a healing in your marriage. Jesus is here tonight. So just lift your hands. Any of those categories, lift your hands. Let's begin to gather up. Even if you don't have somebody lifting your hands, if they're lifting their hands, ask them, what can I agree with you with? What can I believe with you with? What can I pray with you about? If they're not, just gather in groups of two or three and just begin to pray for each other for a fresh infilling of his power and his spirit. So Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, I pray, Lord, for a fresh impartation of your spirit, of your faith, of the power of the Holy Spirit to flow through us, to work in our lives. Lord, that we would begin to believe and fight and stand in faith like this was our miracle that we needed, like this was our healing that we needed. Lord, I thank you. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for any of those, Lord, that were struggling with addiction, that right now, Father, that you would liberate them, that we break that yoke, Father. Lord, that you would give them life and life more abundantly, Lord. You say where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty. Lord, that you would liberate them from that addiction. In Jesus' name.